Welcome to Farm to Stable, a science-based equine nutrition podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nettie Liebert. I'm a lifelong horse person and professional equine nutritionist with the goal of helping horses and their humans create balanced diets to set them up for success, no matter what age, discipline, or circumstance. Disclaimer, the information discussed here is based on current scientific research and is for educational purposes only. Every horse's individual needs vary. This is not a substitute for veterinary medicine or nutrition consultation. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Farm to Stable, an equine nutrition podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nettie Liebert, and it is springtime here in North America and also foaling season. So there are a lot of baby horses being born in the early part of the year. So I wanted to address the nutrition of mom. Yes, the dam, the broodmare. Now, most horses, according to the USDA, are kept for performance or pleasure. It's over 50% of the equine operations in the United States. Now, it is estimated that maybe about 7.5% of the operation of the equine operations in the United States are for breeding. Now, there's less research available about optimal fetal development, and that includes nutrition, and there's less information on factors affecting reproductive efficiency, but there are some things we do know. And even though there's less research, it doesn't mean that it's less important, because we do still want to have healthy, viable horses with desirable traits and characteristics, and, you know, to help maybe draw attention to the need for some research in order to achieve some of those goals, and that includes producing good nutritional products. So let's start with the pregnant mare. Body condition is very key for the dam. Ideally, you want her to be somewhere around a body condition score of a 6 at conception, and that's on the Hennecke scale of 1 to 9. Now, a mare that is overweight can be at risk for dystocia or difficult birth, and a mare is too thin may have difficulty conceiving in the first place. Now, of course, her needs are going to change throughout her pregnancy. And we know that we need to avoid endophyte-infected grass, which is often found in fescue. Endophyte is something, it's actually mutually beneficial for the plant, but it does not work well for pregnant mares. It can cause agalactia or lack of milk, a late or difficult birth, or at worst, a stillborn foal. And that is obviously something we don't want to have happen, the exact opposite. So let's talk about how we feed the mares. So their energy requirements or their calorie requirements during pregnancy are going to change. Now, for the first few months, 0 to 5 months, there's not a lot of increase over maintenance diets. At about 6 months, we start to see an increase of about 3%, and that is going to increase an additional, on the average, 3 to 4% each month until she gives birth. So 7 months, about 7% over maintenance. By the time she's at 11 months of her pregnancy in the final stages, she'll be at about 23% over her maintenance needs for energy. And that is going to also include other nutrients. Starting with crude protein and lysine. We talked a lot about protein and lysine on this podcast. So just a quick review. Lysine is an essential amino acid. And amino acids, as you know, make up proteins. They're like the letters of the alphabet that form the words that are proteins. Now, without lysine, essentially, you're not going to get any other proteins made. So lysine is a key one. So again, in the first few months, not a big increase over maintenance. But again, by the time the mare reaches about 6 months of pregnancy, she's at about 8 to 9% of an increase in protein and lysine over her maintenance. And that will also increase on the average 3 to 4% each month. So by the time she gets to that 11 months, she's at about 30% more protein and lysine than she needs compared to a maintenance diet. Vitamins A and E are also going to be elevated throughout pregnancy, but vitamin A will double, but you have to be very careful to follow guidelines and feeding recommendations, because too much vitamin A is what we call teratogenic. It can cause birth defects. So it's one reason, if you've ever taken vitamin A, or a lot of humans take it for acne control. And it's one reason why if you're a woman of childbearing age, you have to go and have blood tests and monitor every month that you're on that medication. So vitamin A is a key vitamin, but you have to be very careful that you're not overfeeding because, again, too much can be toxic. Vitamin E increases about 1.6 times over maintenance throughout pregnancy. Sodium, potassium, copper, iodine, iron, manganese, or magnesium increase at about 9 months. Calcium and phosphorus start to increase about 6 or 7 months, and again at 9 months. And it's close to double maintenance needs at 9 months when that foal is really growing. So let's sample. Let's talk about a sample brood mare diet. So let's say that that mare starts out 1,100 pounds. She's healthy. She's in a good body condition of about 6. And she is consuming just some average quality forage, about, oh, say 16 to 22 pounds per day. She can be started with a growth feed, depending on the manufacturer recommendations. One generic example might be about, say, 5 to 6 pounds per day. So as the fetus grows in later stages of her pregnancy, the mare may not consume hay on the upper end of the recommendation because she may just simply not feel like it. So that is one of the benefits of a concentrate feed that can give her some of those nutrients and energy without a lot of bulk. So that's when that's a real benefit here. So maybe mid-pregnancy, 7 to 9 months, she's consuming 5 to 7 pounds of our growth concentrate. And 9 to 11 months, maybe she goes up to between 5 and 7.5 pounds. Now, when I say growth concentrate, I'm talking about a concentrate feed that is specifically formulated for brood mares and foals. They are not the same as your average, as you know, maybe your performance feed. Typically, feeds formulated for brood mares have higher protein and a higher concentration of vitamins and minerals, and that is by design. Now, if you have a mare that is not consuming a concentrate that is specifically designed for growth and reproduction, it can be done, but typically you're going to need to top dress with a good quality ration balancer. And I see this a lot. There's plenty of breeding farms out there who are feeding, say, a 14% protein concentrate, maybe 6% fat, but it isn't necessarily formulated specifically for a brood mare. So to make up for some of the nutrient differences, you can top dress with, any on the average, again, for our 1,100-pound horse, 0.5 to 1 pound of a good quality ration balancer. So again, that's just an average and very general examples. Of course, you're going to hear me say that each horse's needs are individual. Now, what about once that mare gives birth and the foal is on the ground? So now the mare is producing milk and all of the nutrition for that foal. This is the most nutritionally demanding time for that mare. So not only does she need to have enough nutrients to meet her own needs, she also has to have enough to produce milk that is of good quality for the foal. And if she is deficient in nutrients, she will deplete her own body stores to make sure that the milk is good for her baby. Now, as an example, when we're talking about a maintenance diet, our 1,100-pound mare just kind of hanging out, not working, she needs approximately, and this is based on the NRC, National Research Council, Nutrient Requirement for Horses, 2007, approximately 17,000 calories per day. And now you may think that sounds like a lot, but it's not for a horse. By the time that foal is born in month one of lactation, remember we said about 16,700 to 17,000, 31,700 calories. So that is almost double her energy, her calorie needs in the first month of lactation. And likewise, protein is going to go up about 2.5 times. So at maintenance, just hanging out in the field, on the average, about 630 grams of crude protein, about 27 grams of lysine, the amino acid. First month of lactation, that crude protein goes from 630 grams to 1,535 grams. That is more than double. Same for lysine. You go from 27 grams to about 85 grams per day. So it's very important that you keep up with those changes nutritionally. And I, you know, that's not even getting into calcium, phosphorus, zinc. Calcium about triples, phosphorus, same thing, not quite triples, about 2.5 times. Zinc is not a huge increase. You go from maybe 400 to 500 milligrams per day. Copper from about 100 to 125 milligrams per day. So not as big a jump as what you'll see in things like protein, calcium, and phosphorus. And remember, calcium and phosphorus are some of the key minerals for bone development. So that's one reason why you get such a big jump. Zinc and copper are also very important for bone development, but the increase in needs is not quite as dramatic as it is for some of the other nutrients. So let's talk about a sample diet for a lactating mare. And the foal is just born. Let's say the mare's healthy. She's still in a good body condition of about 6 out of 9 on the Hennecke scale. And she's consuming her regular amount of hay, maybe somewhere between 16 and 22 pounds. And she's consuming a feed formulated for growth and reproduction. An average feed of this nature, she might be consuming as much as 10 to 14 pounds per day. Now, as she goes on in lactation, and now you're into months 4 to 6, that's going to decrease a little bit, maybe 11 to 12 pounds. And then post-weaning, she'll be back down to her regular intake, maybe about 5 pounds per day. So you can see, we talked about calorie needs and nutrient needs, and the really big difference between during lactation, mid-lactation, and once the foal is weaned. So another option, as I mentioned earlier, if the mare is not consuming a concentrate that is specifically designed for brood mares or for growth, then again, yes, it can be done, but that's still going to necessitate a ration balancer to make up for the incredible demand in other nutrients like calcium and phosphorus, zinc and copper, etc. So let's say she's eating her regular amount of hay, maybe on the lower side, and she's consuming, 13 or 14 pounds of a 14% concentrate that's not formulated for brood mares or growth. And maybe you add another pound or pound and a half of a ration balancer per day to her diet to balance out those nutrients. Now, again, I am speaking very generically here, and how much you're going to feed that mare, of course, depends on her condition and what type of product you're feeding. But these are just estimates to illustrate a point and to illustrate some different ways of making sure that the mare is meeting her needs. Now, some mares are very easy keepers and don't necessarily even need a concentrate, in which case, yeah, they can be just fine on a ration balancer, but you have to feed the right amount. So that's why it's very important to look at those feeding directions. So in general, for that lactating mare, we want to keep her off of fescue, continue good quality hay or forage. Her dry matter intake, meaning forage without the water, may exceed 3% during lactation and in late pregnancy if she can eat that much. So the transition from gestation to lactation, you do still want to do it slowly. You don't want to all of a sudden go from feeding her maybe 7 or 8 pounds to feeding her 14 pounds overnight. So you still need to take time to gradually increase that. And remember, at the very end of her pregnancy, her appetite may be kind of waxing and waning, depends on the mare. So you just don't want to increase that concentrate all at once. You still want to add it gradually, take a week or so to do it. And as long as you're increasing and she's eating well and everybody's healthy and you're doing it slowly enough, hopefully you're giving the best chance to avoid any problems. Again, a forage-only diet might provide sufficient calories for some mares, but it may not provide sufficient vitamins and minerals. So that's why those ration balancers come in handy once again. So they really are a great tool. So as long as the feed overall, the diet is containing high quality protein, including the essential amino acids, not just lysine. We didn't talk too much about methionine and threonine, but typically those other ones come with lysine in the protein sources that are being fed. And often the minimum protein needs are being exceeded in the diet, and that is okay. Remember, we've talked about excess protein. In a healthy horse, it's not going to cause a problem. Their body's just going to get rid of it. Now, when it comes to weaning, there is no scientific evidence that feed withdrawal hastens drying up in the mare. So just by simply removing her feed is not going to cause her to dry up any faster. Now, in some breeding operations, if they rebreed the mare at full heat or soon after birth, her mid-gestation cycle may coincide with weaning time. So her energy needs at that point, remember, will actually start to be ramping up. So when one foal is being weaned and she's midway through her pregnancy with another foal, the last thing you want to do is take away too much energy and nutrients that could risk compromising the development of the next foal. So really important to keep an eye on her weight gain and her weight loss. You want to feed to achieve a body condition score of a 5 to a 6. And if you're not sure about body condition scoring, there are some really great resources on thehorse.com, for example. Extensionhorses.com has some really good resources on body condition scoring as well. So just get familiar with it. So we are going to stop there with the lactating mare. And next week, we'll talk a little bit about the foal and a little bit about the stallion as well. So thank you so much for listening. If you have a foal on the way, all the best to you. And send pictures, because who doesn't love pictures of baby horses, right? They're my favorite thing. As we warm up here in the spring in North America, enjoy it. Hope you're getting more time with your horse and maybe a little horse hair all over the place as shedding coats start to happen. Enjoy your time. Thanks for listening. And feel free to reach out with topic ideas or questions to equinenutritionphd@yahoo.com. Happy riding. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Farm to Stable, a science-based equine nutrition podcast. Please share and subscribe if you found the content interesting. And if you have a topic you'd like to hear about, send it to equinenutritionphd@yahoo.com.